Amen. Thank you, guys. All right, well, I want to get into this word, and this is going to be the third part of the message we entitled The Shepherd and the Sheep and Maybe a Few Goats. And this is based on the fact that Jesus had given the command to feed his sheep, and we're not going to read all through the scripture, but in John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17 is where Jesus is dealing with Peter. And remember, Peter had denied Jesus three times. Now Jesus has given him an opportunity to affirm his love for him three times. And I believe closing that circle for Peter and bringing restoration to Peter. And then he infuses purpose into his life. How many of you know that when we come to Christ, he desires to infuse purpose into our life? I mean, he wants to give you a reason for living. You know, on our radio program, I always say, you were loved and your life is worth living, right? Well, why is that? Because, man, we have a purpose. God didn't just put us on this earth to try. He didn't, like, just throw us out here and say, okay, figure it out. And then we live our life trying to gather some things and to experience some pleasure and then, you know, die. I mean, that's not what life is about. It has an eternal purpose. And part of my job as a pastor is trying to help people find that eternal purpose and walk in that eternal purpose. And understand that you don't have to be a pastor to do it. You just have to be a Christian who is obedient to the Lord, who loves God and loves people. And God will use you in ways that 'll blow your mind. And so Jesus establishes this with Peter three different times where he talks about, he says, feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, and then feed my sheep. He's telling Peter it's all about the sheep. I want you to make sure to take care of my sheep, to feed my sheep, to tend to my sheep. And so that is a commission that was given out to, I believe, everyone who was in a fivefold ministry type, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But that same love and anointing should bleed through to the people where although you're a sheep, God will give you an opportunity as well to, in a sense, pastor people or disciple people if you're willing to do it. And so where does God get the pastors from or the shepherds from? Well, he gets them from the sheep, right? First and foremost, I said, before I'm a pastor, I'm a sheep, right? I'm his sheep. He's the chief shepherd, and I am his sheep. Right? And then I am an under shepherd under the chief shepherd. But then I also have a pastor that I submit to who is an under shepherd of the chief shepherd. And so God ordained that. God lined all that out. God put all of that in order. God raises up spiritual authority. Although we all have the same value, we don't all necessarily walk in the same authority. Because that authority comes with obedience to the Lord. I tell people all the time, one of the reasons I have y'all most of the time lay hands on each other and I'm not laying hands on you is because I want you to understand the same spirit that lives in me, the Holy Spirit, and the same spirit that lives in Christ when he walked this earth is the same spirit that lives in you, right? And so there's nothing special about me. I'm not more anointed than anybody else. But it is possible that some of us may be more obedient to the Lord than other people, right? The more obedient we are to him, the more that anointing is going to show forth. The more you're going to see things happen in a supernatural way, right? But then humility, as Pastor Cindy said earlier, humility is the key to keeping that going. The moment I start getting proud of myself because of what I think I did is the moment I'm going to start spiraling. So Jesus lets us know, lets Peter know, first of all, that of his concern for the sheep. And then he says in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. His heart broke for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he says, my sheep need a shepherd. And so he establishes shepherds in the church. And so this is Christ's deep, deep concern and his love for his sheep that is being expressed here. And so the church, in a sense, And there's many ways of looking at the church. The church is a body, right? We know that. But the church is also a sheep pen, right? The church, and there are several sheep pens with several under-shepherds all serving under the chief shepherd who owns all the sheep, right? And so they're not mine, they're his. You are in no way mine, you are his. I just have been given responsibility as an under-shepherd to feed and to help and to correct and those kind of things as the Lord leads. So the very word pastor means shepherd. So without going over too much of what we already talked about, you know, we established in the first message here that God raises up all authority and that God raised up the authority of the shepherd. There is such a thing as pastoral authority, and we spent quite a bit of time dealing with that, and the various scriptures were literally Paul's commanding Timothy as a pastor to command people to do certain things. Well, it doesn't mean you rule their life. It just means that you are emphatically saying this is the way it really must be. And so there are times when as sheep we don't understand all of those things, but he puts a shepherd in our life to help us, to direct us, because the shepherd has a little bit different view than the sheep typically because they see a little bit bigger picture. Now, I have served and been sheep under other pastors where I didn't see the big picture, so I didn't always understand what was going on or why certain decisions were being made. And so, again, God loves the sheep. Number one, we said that sheep are valuable. How valuable? You can tell how valuable something is by the price somebody is willing to put on that thing, right? And what did we say was the price of us? The blood of Jesus. The most valuable thing that's ever touched this earth, God was willing to spend it for us, the blood of Jesus. That's how valuable we are to him. And then we also said that the sheep are vulnerable. Now, these are some of the things that may seem a little bit more negative, but that the sheep are vulnerable because sheep are not made. God didn't create sheep to be aggressive. Sheep are not predators. And so he uses this analogy of sheep because it describes to a large degree the way people are. And so we're not, God's sheep are not predators. He didn't call us a pack of wolves. He called us sheep, right? There's a reason for that. Now, in fact, if they're like a predator, you better beware because they're really probably a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, the thing about wolves are they're really good at trying to get into that sheep pen and cause destruction. And listen, the wolf doesn't have any good intentions other than to feed his own belly. I understand that. And the Bible compares some people to sheep and some people to wolves. And then we're going to talk about a little later, he compares some people to goats. And so the wolf, though, you have to understand, is always looking for an opportunity to bring destruction. They're a predatorial type of person. And there are predators that try to get in churches and in the sheep pens all the time. So pastors, one of the things we have to do is stay on constant wolf patrol. Have to constantly watch. You got to hear from the Spirit, you know, the gift of discerning of spirits. It's one of the reasons that is there so that you can recognize is this a sheep or is this a wolf? And although we are not supposed to judge people's motives, the Holy Spirit can reveal people's motives. And there have been times when, over the years, when we've had to actually put a boundary. And there's been a few times over the years where people were not sheep, but wolves, and very predatorial, and where we had to put a boundary and say, you cannot come here anymore. You cannot come unless there is repentance. Now, when there is repentance, you are welcome into this sheepfold. But until you change from a wolf to a sheep, you can't come. Now, some people say, well, you don't have the right to tell people. This is a public church. People can come if they want. Well, they can come, but they're also going to be resisted, and I do have a right to tell people you cannot come, all right? Now, I'm not saying that to be mean because I love the wolf just like God loved the wolf and Jesus shed his blood for him, but while they're acting like a wolf, you have to protect the sheep from the wolves. Anybody understand that? All right, so there have been times we had to do that, but our heart is, God, we want their heart to be changed. We want them to be transformed from that wolf to a sheep. So, again, every shepherd should be constantly on the lookout for the wolf because there are plenty of wolves out there. Sheep don't have fangs or claws, but wolves do. And so sheep are totally defenseless against wolves typically. And here's the thing, sheep are a lot more trusting, and a wolf will take advantage of that trust. So I'm just giving you some practical understanding of why these terms are being used in the scripture. So unfortunately, sometimes sheep don't understand. They don't see the wolf for what it really is. And they will ignore the warning many times of the shepherd because they can sometimes be easily swayed by wrong influences. We said, so they're valuable, but they're vulnerable. But they're also, we said, gullible. Now, I don't like that Jesus says this stuff about us. And I want you to understand that, you know, using these words, they may sound negative, but it's just the truth about people, that many times we are gullible. Sheep must have someone provide direction for them, because if not, they're going to make very poor choices. Again, I thank God for the shepherds that he put in my life that helped me to make right choices. I've had pastors that the Lord had me serving under that I had major decisions to make, and thank God, they heard from the Lord and cared about me enough to say, well, this is what I see from the Lord. I remember Pastor Holton, when Pastor Cindy and I wanted to get married, we had, you know, both of us had gone off to Bible college and we were coming back and for the summer. We told Brother Holton the semester before that, that we wanted to get married before the summer. So I went to college and she came the next semester. But what we wanted to do is get married between semesters. And we told Brother Holton that, and we're just in love, and we're ready to get married. I mean, we're just both convinced that it's time. But Pastor Holton, thank God, said, you know, y'all can do that if you want, but I see a big X. I see a big X. It's not time. Not that you shouldn't get married, but it's not time yet. Big X. And in fact, he felt it so strongly. He said, you can still go off and get married if you want, but if you want me to marry you, I can't do it. Not yet. Thank God he did that. Now, we had to walk through some things that I don't think our marriage could have handled in that next semester. There were some things God was doing in both of us, right, that needed to be done before we got married, right? Some things in both of our hearts, things that we needed to deal with before we ever got married. In fact, three different times, from the time we told him we wanted to get married to the time we actually got married, till he, Brother Holton, agreed, that we broke up like three different times, right? We had some rough stuff to go through, all right? So, but then when we approached him again, he said, the Lord says yes, I'll be glad to do it, right? Thank God. Thank God. So my point is, and then I told you all the story about Pastor Wesley when I was thinking about taking another church up in Oklahoma to pastor. And thank God, I listened as he said, as my shepherd, he said, you can do it if you want, but I just don't believe this is the Lord. I don't believe this is what he has for you. And I could have pressed through, but had I pressed through, we'd have got ourselves in a huge mess. And he warned me, you're going to be going to be like going into a pit of vipers. Now, he used the right language because God knows and everybody that knows me knows I don't want anything to do with no vipers, right? I don't want anything to do with a snake. So he used that language. Thank God he did. And he warned me, this is not, I don't believe this is what God has for you. But when it came to, once we knew we were supposed to come back to Iway, Pastor Wesley said, I do believe this is of God, right? So, again, he puts people in our lives like that to help us. There are times when I was on the edge of a decision where I called my pastor now, Pastor Mike Mealy. I called him and said, look, I'm praying about this, and I don't know that I'm getting clarity, but I need to hear from you. I need to hear from my pastor. What is God saying to you? And I thank God for those times where he was able to help, and, you know, he heard from the Lord, or he knew exactly what to say because the Lord had prepared him. So we all need that in our lives. So sheep need a shepherd, or are they going to make poor judgments? And we talked about how, you know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, the voice of another they will not follow. We don't expect somebody else's sheep from another sheep pen to hear our voice. And this is why I encourage people, you know, we want you to invite people to church. We do. We want you to reach out to people and invite them to church and bring them to church and do. We do. But we're not trying to take people out of other churches. You know, that's up to the Lord whether or not he's going to move them somewhere, but we should not be actively trying to pull people out of other churches where the Word of God is being taught. Now, if they're teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, then absolutely. If they're teaching things that the Word says is wrong, then of course, I want to rescue people from that kind of a place. But just trying to have people fill seats and get them to come from a church like this one into this church, we're not interested in that. We're not sheep stealing, right? It's not about that. So my sheep know my voice. In the same way, if you can't hear Jesus' voice speaking through me and Pastor Cindy, then this probably isn't the sheepfold that you belong to, right? That's just the truth of it. Now, again, that's not what not the kind of talk that people that are always making it about numbers are saying, but I believe that this is truth, and I believe that you have to have the heart of a shepherd to really grasp that. Now, we talked about the fact that sometimes sheep will eat the wrong stuff. They'll go feed on all kinds of stuff. That's why I caution people, be careful about all the stuff on YouTube and everywhere else. Be careful about feeding yourself on all kinds of stuff. Not that there's nothing good out there, but be careful because you can bring yourself a lot of confusion. You can bring yourself a lot of stuff, you know, twisted, warped theologies and belief systems that are going to impact you and affect you in a negative way. And so the shepherd in our life is one that you hear something. Look, we don't have a problem. Bring it to us. Hey, Pastor, what do you think about this? And we do have people that do that, and I'm thankful for that. But we can go eat the wrong stuff, and it's going to cause us pain. And then we get to the place where, before we know it, we've eaten all this poisonous stuff, poisonous weeds, and we're all bloated up with gas to where no, we can't even defend ourselves in any way if we could. And all we can do is lay on our back with gas, right? Bah, bah, complaining. And then the wolf hears that, and he knows, oh, that's going to be easy prey. And so the pastor has what's called the sword of the Word of God, and the shepherd, what they do to save the sheep is literally they have to go burst the gas bubble. They got to go burst it, let all them poisonous gases out so that sheep can get up and walk again. And so the pastor has the sword of the Word. It's sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Piercing even to, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I mean, so what happens is, so the pastor is equipped to bring the Word to burst that gas bubble and get that poisonous stuff out of that sheep so he can now begin to function again. So again, and they call that belly aching. When the sheep rolls over on its back and is just complaining, they call that belly aching. And like I said last week, I believe it is, this is where we get the term, quit your belly aching, right? That's where it comes from. And so another thing that'll happen is a sheep will actually allow a wolf many times to come and just literally begin to chew its back leg off while they stand there because they don't know what else to do. And the same thing happens with people. People come to you and they start bringing their gossip or they start bringing their offense or they start bringing their bitterness. And you're taking that stuff in. You don't even realize the wolf is chewing your leg off. It's crippling you, right? That happens with sheep. So sheep can be very gullible. And so they need a shepherd in their life. And they need someone that's going to help them chase that wolf away, right? Now let's talk about a little different subject. You know, sheep have a shepherd because they follow the wrong influences many times that'll lead to their destruction. But also understand that sometimes you'll find not just sheep and not just a wolf trying to get in, but sometimes you will find goats in the crowd. And so Matthew chapter 25, verse 32 through 33 says, "Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left." You can learn to identify goats by this way. This is the easiest way. Goats always want to butt everything. They want to butt everything. I know the pastor said this, but. I know the pastor did this, but. Right? They want to butt everything. And listen, they don't just butt pastors, they butt God himself. I know this is what God wants, but so they may not actually say it, but they're at least thinking that if they were the pastor, well, they would say it or they would do it in a different way than the pastor, right? Now listen, I'm not talking about ignoring sin or immorality in pastors. And if understand, I'm sick of it. I am sick of hearing about pastor after pastor after pastor falling. I mean, hundreds of them over the years. And I'm sick of the immorality in the church. I'm sick of, you know, people saying one thing and doing another. I'm sick of that. And look, but for the grace of God, there go I, right? I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. But what I'm saying is that the moment that the pastor starts making it about themselves instead of about God and his kingdom and his sheep, and they begin to get prideful and take credit and all that, that they are setting themselves up to step into a trap. And many have fallen into the trap of immorality. Many, hundreds across this nation, hundreds, not just the big mega churches that we hear about on the news, but we don't even hear about the smaller churches where pastors fall into that stuff. Immorality got women on the side and are found to be in homosexuality or all kind of stuff, just child abuse, all of that kind of stuff happening. Well, the Spirit of God is nowhere around any of that, all right? So I said all that to say, I'm not talking about that we should ignore sin or immorality in a pastor just because they carry the title of pastor. So those things should be confronted in a proper way. The Bible is clear on what's required of pastors in that area. But I'm talking about when goats have their own ideas about the way things ought to be, and they begin to oppose legitimate, godly, delegated authority. There is legitimate, godly, delegated authority that he's given to his church. And so when that begins to get opposed, then that's a problem. And the goats will lead sheep astray, putting them in danger because they don't care about the sheep, right? They're putting them in danger of becoming an order of lamb chops for the wolves, all right? Goats have their own agendas. They don't care about the sheep. They just want what they want. Y'all have heard me say it before. You ain't ever been in a fight till you've been in a church fight. I can remember, the first time I ever served on a board, because this is the way churches do it many times. They set up a board and they have their board meetings and they argue. I mean, I know y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but I remember the first time I experienced that. I went into this. I had never been involved in anything like this, but because I'm serving in this particular church, the pastor says, well, you're going to be on the board. Oh, okay, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do, but I couldn't even believe how them people acted. It was unbelievable. I thought, this should not be anywhere near the church. This is not the kingdom of God. This is ridiculous. And so, again, they want what they want. And so in that particular situation, there were people who had an agenda, and that agenda was actually against the pastor. And so Mike Ford made this statement. It's a pretty long quote I'm going to read to you. But the church is not about people pushing their plans and agendas. It's about people accepting and going with God's plans and agendas. Amen? And that's part of what we do as pastors, that we're trying to hear from God on this. On, Lord, what is your plan? What is your agenda for this body and for this church? Mike Ford, he says this, Christ concludes his interpretation of the parable in verse 46, where he indicates that the sheep are given eternal life, but the goats are cast into the lake of fire. It is clear from this section of Scripture that we want the attributes of sheep and not those of goats. So yeah, sheep are gullible, sheep are vulnerable, but sheep are valuable. And God knows how to look out for us, but he doesn't want us to be goats, all right? And he goes on to say, what is it about goats that causes God to use them in such a negative light? Goats are capricious. They are impulsive and unpredictable. They are devious and contrary. If they're not poking their heads through fences, they may be standing on their hind legs, stretching for those tender leaves just out of their reach. Goats are never content with what they have. Now, anybody here ever raised goats? No? Okay. I know Mike and Lena had some, and they were agreeing and saying yes as I'm reading this stuff about the goats. But we have neighbors that have goats right next door to us, and you know they have them in this big fence. And there's one goat that is constantly getting his head stuck in the fence. I mean, it's what they do, right? They are experts also at opening gates and squeezing through small gaps because they hate to be confined. Fences that will handle sheep and cattle and horses will not hold goats. They'll literally chew through the wire. They will work tirelessly to spring themselves from any situation that they deem inhibiting. Somebody told me this morning after the first service, they said, yeah, I think it was their uncle who used to tell them that the only kind of fence that'll hold a goat is the kind of fence that'll hold a water. And then I thought, well, what in the world does that mean? She says, no fence will hold water. Ain't no fence going to hold a goat either, right? So consequently, goats are not very good followers. Gregarious behavior is a term that refers to the flocking or the herding instinct, which is found strongly in sheep and cattle and horses. Again, this quality is rather weak in goats. They really prefer either leading or going off on their own. A sheep follows its shepherd, peacefully moving forward with the flock. He is content to be led because he has faith in him. A sheep responds to the shepherd's voice and goes where he directs. A goat follows only his own lead, creating disunity when he comes in contact with others in the flock. Because of his independent nature, he often finds himself in contention with the shepherd for leadership of the flock, leading some astray. You know, there's a problem. How many of you ever heard of a church split, right? Church splits typically happen because a goat rose up and began to try to draw people to themselves, and they begin to oppose the leadership of the pastor that God ordained. And usually they will seed, you know, these seeds of negativity toward the leadership of the church to try to draw people's in or to try to influence people and draw them to themselves. Well, there's another word for that other than goat, a tumor. Remember the body, we are called sheep, right? But we're also called the body of Christ. And so sometimes what will happen is someone will come into the body and they're really a goat type of person. And they're not, there's no humility in them. And there's really no love in them, because what they're doing is not for the sake of people, but what they're doing is to try to glorify themselves in some way, all right? And so when you're using the analogy of the body, that person becomes like a tumor and begins to gather people to them to increase the size of that tumor, and that thing becomes cancerous to a church, cancerous to the body, okay? And it's certainly not led by the Holy Spirit. So again, it's one thing if there's some kind of immorality going on and that needs to be dealt with and taken care of, but it's another thing when it's just an opinion. Well, I think it ought to be done this way, or I think it ought to be said this way, right? And so I'm giving y'all some very practical stuff here today, because we need to understand the role of sheep and goats and shepherds and wolves. So goats are not inherently evil, but some of their traits could be deadly, and spiritually it's going to harm them and others around them if it's found in a person, and if it's found in a Christian. A wolf is not a Christian. A goat can be a Christian, but they butt everything. They're very independent. They want to have their say. They want to push their agenda. And they still are driven by selfish motives. So the Christian who is unpredictable, who thinks he is above it all, who independently does his own thing, who wants to take over, has trouble functioning in a group, or does not want to be led, is exhibiting the characteristics of a goat. And Christ says that that kind of person is heading for the lake of fire. So, again, God wants us all to become sheep. So the question is, can a goat change? Absolutely. If a wolf can change and become a sheep, a goat certainly can, right? It's called repentance. It's called seeking the heart of God. It's called laying my own agenda down and taking up his agenda for my life, right? Now, spiritual goats have their own vision. Now, I want to tell you, over the years, I've had to deal with this kind of thing. I had somebody publicly actually just stand up and say, are you saying we can't have a vision of our own? And the answer is, absolutely, we should all have a vision of our own that God wants to do with our lives. But if it's part of this church, then it should line up with the vision of this church. What Shane and Monica are doing perfectly lines up with the vision of this church. This is vision that God gave me many, many, many years ago, that we would need to, but I had no idea how to do it. That we need to have a ministry, that this church needs to have a ministry where we're reaching into the lives of people who are either addicted or coming out of prison and that kind of thing. That's been on my heart for many, many, many years. And to see that happening now, it's happening. That's in alignment with the vision of this ministry. And why is it that they can function there? Because they're functioning in great humility. And I said I'm going to stop telling Shane that he's humble because I don't want him to get proud of it, right? So I'm going to. But the truth of the matter is humility empowers us. It empowers us because it puts God in control, right? But spiritual goats have their own vision of how the sheep pen should be ran, and as a result, they bring what's called division. Now, what is division? Division, what does it mean? Two visions. So it means two vision or double vision, and they bring that into the flock. So when they are listened to, they cause people to be double-minded, because they're double-minded themselves. And the scripture says that a double-minded man is not going to receive anything from God. I must say, as I've said many times, I never asked to be put in this place or position of a pastor. In fact, I ran from it as long as I could. And I never had any ambition for or felt qualified to be a leader of any kind, much less a pastor in the church. Now, I want to clarify something for you. Pastor Cindy and I were talking about this. I do not want anybody in this church to think that I'm complaining about the fact that God called me to pastor. I was just trying to be transparent about the fact that I didn't want to do it, and I was scared to death of it. And it was fear that was keeping me from stepping into that, because I had seen what my pastor went through. And I saw the division that he had to deal with. And I saw the people put the knife in his back and twist that knife. I heard the people talking negatively and saying things about he and his wife that they never should have said. I saw people embittering their children against the pastor that they bring them to listen to every Sunday as they sit at the dinner table after church and do nothing but criticize. I saw the damage that did. I didn't want anything to do with that. And so I just loved God and I wanted to serve him, and he ordered my steps. I never tried to make it happen. So I'm not complaining. I am thankful that God would entrust me and my wife with the ministry he's entrusted us to. I'm thankful for that. I'm not complaining about that. And I don't want to discourage someone. If someone feels that they are called to pastor, man, we want people to walk in that. We want to get behind that. We want to encourage that, right? But I don't want anybody to go into it blind either, right? And what I do know is that if you just follow him, God will raise you up. God will cause it to happen. It's God that's raising Shane and Monica up doing the ministry that they're doing, right? And various ones. If it is an agenda, and if you think it's a career choice, then you are headed in the wrong direction, because it's a calling, right? Now, pastoring is not the only calling we get. People say, well, when did you feel the call? When did you know you were called? Well, I knew I was called to do something from the time I was a little kid. I just didn't know what I was called to do. But I do know I was called to serve God. And you walk in that direction, and then God, as Monica said, he directs your path. He straightens up those crooked paths. He'll get you where you need to go, right? And then you'll wonder, how in the world did I get here? Love God. Serve him. And he will order your steps. If there is an agenda, and that agenda is self-centered in any way, then God can't use you the way he wants to use you, all right? Now, I believe that God ordains some people to do all kinds of things. Some people, he ordains them to be not just pastors or apostles, prophets, evangelists, or teachers, but he ordains some people to own businesses. He ordains some people to be employees. He ordains some people to do certain crafts and certain skills and all of the things. But wherever he sends you, he wants you to be looking for the opportunity to reach somebody for Christ and make disciples. And so what you get here, you should be teaching to somebody who will listen. When you see somebody backbiting or complaining because they haven't gotten their way or been promoted into leadership in the church, or the pastor's not doing things the way that they would want it done, when they're willing to say or do things, no matter how hurtful it may be, to get their way, that is a huge clue as to why they haven't been promoted. God cannot promote someone that's operating in that kind of a spirit. I told the story about a couple that wanted to be pastors of a church, and the Lord directed them to plant another church, and as they were going to plant that other church, this couple who thought they were going to be the pastors got extremely upset over the pastor because he put someone else over the other church. Well, the fact that they got so upset they left the church. The fact that they got all upset and left the church tells me they were not the right pick. And thank God the pastor heard from God, or they'd have made a mess out of everything. Everybody follow me. Their motives were not right. All right. So when they're willing to get what they want, no matter how hurtful it is to someone else, why? Because they don't really care about the sheep. The pastor, the shepherd, cares about the sheep. And if they don't, they're just a hireling. And that's why Jesus warns about the hireling. He says, because when the wolf shows up, what's the hireling do? He's going to run. He's not going to fight the wolf. He's not going to deal with the wolf. He's going to run. He's going to cover himself. All right? So, again, why would God promote someone who has such a lack of character? Why would God promote someone who's indulging in one of the very things that God says he hates and an abomination to him, such as division in his church? They're not doing what they're doing because they love the sheep like Jesus does, but because they're driven by pride. Pride is always the source of that kind of behavior. Now we're going to end with this. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud. That means God is now on offense against you. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you see somebody backbiting or complaining because they didn't get their way, they haven't been promoted, you know you're not in the presence of a sheep. You're in the presence of a goat. Now, how many of you have ever heard the term Judas goat? Anybody? A Judas goat is a goat that's actually used to lead sheep to slaughter. The goat is bold, and so they're determined, and sheep will follow that goat because there's a boldness, and people are looking for some kind of leadership or boldness, and so they will literally follow that goat. So what they would do when it was time to slaughter, now let me just say this, Jesus ain't sending no Judas goat into the church. Jesus is not looking to slaughter us. He himself became the final slaughtered sheep, right? But I want you to see how this works. A goat will come into a crowd of sheep, and that goat will lead those sheep off to their slaughter. And those sheep will just follow one another right into the slaughterhouse to be butchered. Why? Because that's what they do. And so that Judas goat, term Judas goat, was used because that goat was used that way to lead those sheep to the slaughter. And in the same way, when a person has that goat type of thing about them, you'll a lot of times find they may have strong leadership qualities, but they're going to lead in the wrong direction. Everybody understand? So you got to be careful who you're listening to and who you're following. Now, I'll tell you this. Now, this may be oversimplified, but I'll tell you this. If you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, not the correct charismatic abilities of a man or a woman, if you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you cannot make a bad decision. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you will not follow the wrong people. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you will never follow a Judas goat. But if you are impressed by people and their ability and their charisma and their ability to orate or their intellect or whatever it may be, their talent, their gifts. I mean, think about how many people are led to the slaughter every year by people who know how to play guitar and sing or rap or whatever. People are impressed with talent. And if that is what you follow, they're going to lead you the wrong direction. Amen. I remember years ago hearing a song about, I want to be a sheep. How many of you ever heard that song? It's, I want to be a sheep. Bah, bah. I want to be a sheep. Bah, bah. And there was part of that said, I don't want to be a goat, right? So here's the thing. I know for me, I've always, my heart has been, although that there have been times when I've been kind of goat-like in situations I didn't understand, my heart has always been, God, I don't want to be the kind of person that causes trouble in your church. I want to be the kind of person that brings healing and wholeness and unity, but also while following truth without compromise. And if that's what you want to, let's just go ahead and lift our hands to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person here. Lord, I pray that you would put within their hearts your heart. Lord, that we would see people the way you see them, that we would love people the way you love them. Father, we know that you've given us gifts and talents and abilities and all of those things, and we should not be ashamed of any of that. But Father, we want to be led by your Spirit. Lord, we don't want to be impressed by anything this world can show us. Lord, we only want to be impressed by you. And so, Father, I pray, lead us. Lord, lead us by your Spirit. Help us to have the discerning of spirits operating in our lives where we can discern, Lord, whether or not there is danger spiritually to us, whether or not it's we're dealing with a goat or we're dealing with a wolf, Father God. Help us as a body to be able to see clearly those things, Father. Lord, help me as a shepherd and Pastor Cindy as a shepherd, Lord, to be able to see clearly those dangers that come at the church. And Lord, I thank you for compassion, but also boldness, Lord, and the ability that comes through your Spirit to stand when we need to stand and to make decisions that always glorify and honor you. Father, if there's anyone in here that would say, I don't know that I'm one of these sheep, Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that you know how to reach their hearts. Lord, I thank you that you're drawing them even now to yourself. Lord, you don't abuse the sheep. You love the sheep. The sheep are valuable to you. Lord, your intent for us is good and good only. No evil. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that you value us and you give us purpose. And so, Father, I pray for each person within the sound of my voice. May they always hear clearly from your Spirit. May they hear when you speak through a person. May they recognize the voice of Jesus in them. Because you said, my sheep know my voice. And Lord, I thank you that when it's not your voice, you'll give them a red flags, a detector that goes off in their spirit that says, be careful. And Lord, I thank you for that. That's your desire for us. And I thank you for these people. And I thank you for what you're doing in their life. Use them for your glory. This week, in Jesus' name, amen.